Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. All this week, WBUR is exploring the many facets of the region's traffic woes in a special series we're calling Driving Us Crazy. And in a way, what we're really doing is asking the question, what does the city of the future look like when it comes to cars? And right now, there's a microcosm, a little city within the city that could help us answer that question. The Seaport Innovation District in South Boston, home to companies such as Vertex, Rethink Robotics, and soon GE. But there's a problem. When it comes to traffic, the Seaport is showing us exactly what we don't want in the Boston of the future. Here's Jim Rooney, CEO of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce.
If it is too crippling, too stifling, other cities begin to catch up in terms of talent and attractiveness in other areas, this could be a negative factor. And, you know, we're not attempting to sound any immediate crisis alarm bells. What we're suggesting is that there needs to be a long-term strategy.
Well, over the next two decades, 17 million square feet of development is underway or planned for the Seaport, which means more people, more cars, more traffic. So what exactly should our strategy be? As we like to ask frequently on this show, how do we fix it? Listeners, I want your ideas on fixing traffic problems in the Seaport. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And if you work there or live nearby or have to drive anywhere around there, let us know what it's like. Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. Well, joining us now with more is a man who knows quite a lot about this problem, Dan McNichol. He's the author of several books about infrastructure, including The Roads That Built America, The Incredible Story of the U.S. Interstate System. He's also former Deputy Director of Public Affairs for the Central Artery Third Harbor Tunnel Project. I can barely get the words out, a.k.a. the Big Dig. Dan McNichol, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you for having me, Meghna.
Okay, so let's start off with the fact that you know the Big Dig very well, because I hear you think that that's part of the problem in the Seaport.
Well, that was my first book, and I worked on the project for 7 years and saw what we were doing underground that you can't see anymore. That was exciting. It was cut open. We put this massive superhighway that goes all the way to Seattle, 3,000 miles plus, the longest one in America. And it's a trunk line. It's the high voltage line for traffic that dumps out and picks up traffic in the Seaport District on its way to the airport or on your other way to Seattle.
Okay. And so how do you think that that is contributing to the overall traffic issues in the Seaport? Or maybe let me ask more broadly still. I mean, you know that area really well. How would you describe the current state of traffic around the Seaport District?
It's tough. It's especially tough at the evening rush hour. The morning rush hour is bad. The evening rush hour is epic. And I'm a pedestrian when I'm at home there on Atlantic Avenue right by South Station. So I see it, I won't say with amusement. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm walking, I'm biking, and I'm passing cars that are in gridlock constantly.
Mm. Well, I mean, one of the major problems with the Seaport District is that there are just a couple choke points, right? I mean, the access into and out of the Innovation District itself has to all go through some very narrow and a limited number of roads and bridges.
The Boston Wharf Company started filling in the Seaport area. It was all harbor. It was all open bay. And in 1872, it was a giant fire in downtown Boston. They took the debris, the melted steel, the burnt marble, and they threw it into the ocean and started building this Seaport District. And it was meant to be something that it's not and never will be. It was meant to be a giant port for ships going to rail. And now we're filling that in. Now we have this trunk line, I-90, underneath the Seaport, which is fantastic. That's why GE wants to be there. That's why Vertex is already there. But it's not finished. We have a very unfinished product right now.
Mm. So tell us more about that, because, I mean, as we talked about in the beginning of the introduction to this conversation, 17 million square feet under development. GE's only, you know, one of many companies there. The area is only going to grow, but is the traffic plan surrounding that growth adequate?
I don't know what the plan is, honestly. You see suggestions, you see ideas, you see them scratching their heads, but it's tough. And no, I think we've only just begun to realize that we're not even halfway there yet to that additional 17 million square feet. That's six Empire State Buildings coming in 20 years. And that's going to be an incredible burden because you have people living, working, and playing in the Seaport District now. That's great. That's exciting. I love it. But we're dealing with this 1800s infrastructure and almost nothing to deal with it on the surface.
All right. So we're already seeing, I mean, obviously a lot of people are thinking about this. Jim Rooney went and talked with WBUR's Bob Oakes this morning, as we heard. They walked around the Seaport District and pointed out all the problems. I mean, in addition to that, last year, state and city officials opened the once trucks-only South Boston bypass road for at least a six-month trial period to help clear traffic. I mean, I suppose that helps, but, I mean, haven't we seen time and time again that just creating more lanes doesn't necessarily always solve the traffic problem?
Right. I think it's skirting around the bigger issue. And the big play will be tunnels. We are a city of tunnels. We've pioneered tunnels. We're the first subway system in America, which is really taking trolleys on the street and putting them underground. We know how to do this. It's that thing called political will that's keeping us back from making the big steps that Jim spoke about that we need to make to remain super competitive, maybe even the most desirable city to innovate in.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to a little bit more of what Jim Rooney, CEO of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, told Bob Oakes.
It's easy to see that you can't fit any more cars on the road. You can't widen these streets, and even if you did, they would fill up again. So solutions that encourage people in a way that is attractive to take public transportation is the key to a strategy.
That's Jim Rooney, CEO of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. So, Dan McNichol, what are your preferred solutions then? How do we fix it?
Immediately take the old Northern Avenue Bridge and make it about boots, bikes, and buses. That's going to be the major number one growth area for the traffic going into the Seaport and out of it. Buses, bikes, and foot traffic.
Over the Northern Avenue Bridge.
Well, that's the first solution because it's there and it can be fixed and it's not as in bad a condition as people might think by looking at it. But yes, that would relieve some serious congestion, some serious...
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you just then, but my little sigh was, exclamation there was, it just hit me. Buses, boots, buses, and bikes does not include cars.
Not include cars.
So you wouldn't put cars over the Northern Avenue Bridge.
Why do that? They can use the Moakley Bridge. And I think a bus and bus systems, there's already these private shuttle buses running around the district trying to alleviate the problem themselves. But if we coordinate or condense those and put them into public buses or some kind of coordinated method, you could have a wonderful shuttle system going to North Station, going to South Station, going back into the Seaport, picking up people, bypassing all the congestion on the Moakley Bridge in the afternoon when the traffic's the worst. And scooting around the traffic that's making the Seaport legendarily, notoriously jammed packed.
Well, on that point, let's take a quick call here. Paul is calling from Norwood. You're on the air, Paul.
Good afternoon. Bicycle is a great idea, but you know what? You got to make the city more safer for bicyclists because I have a little bicycle and I work on E Street near the Seaport for DHL Express. I live in West Bridgewater, and I keep a bicycle at the station in Southie, but it was telling your director, I live in West Bridgewater. I leave my house at 4:30 in the morning, and I don't punch in until 8:30. So that's 4 hours I kill in the town before work every day just to beat the traffic. It's a nightmare. I love my job, but just getting into that city is crazy. And you got to be a millionaire to live in the city. So it's a dilemma that I hope you guys can figure something out because it's getting worse and worse every day.
Hey, Paul, stay on the line here because I want to be sure I understand you correctly. So basically, just to leave traffic, you leave home at 4:30 in the morning, and then you don't have to clock in until 8:30, so you've got all this time that maybe you'd be rather doing other things, but you're just sort of tooling around Boston.
Right. I bicycle in the city before work. I'll go to the gym at Gold's Gym in Dorchester just to kill time before I work, before I punch in. But if I leave at 4:30, I can get into the city in 40 minutes. But
wow.
If I leave at 6 or 7 on Route 24 coming from the south, it's a nightmare. And every day, there's an accident. It's crazy. People drive too aggressively. It's nuts, you know? Something's got to be done. I mean, bicycles is a great idea, but, you know, you can't bicycle from the South Shore to the city every day. It's just, you know, I don't know what to do.
Gotcha.
And I read the paper every day, and all these new buildings and hotels going up in the city, it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Something's got to be done.
Paul, thank you so much for your call. Dan McNichol, what's your reaction to that?
I've been traveling the world, but specifically the U.S., and it's exciting to see cities becoming so popular. Everywhere, they're wrestling with this, and everywhere, transit is the solution. Almost undeniably, in Boston especially, I would say, transit is the solution for the seaport. It's the solution for the city in general. We have to build more transit. To go down that tick list of what would I suggest besides bikes, the Silver Line Tunnel. There's a big chunk of the Silver Line Tunnel that not many people know about that goes. It would go in from Dudley Square. This tunnel would begin right at the I-90 Washington Street intersection. It would go underground to the Common. It would go underground to South Station. It would continue underground to the Seaport District. That link was never built. It should have been, and it was scrapped. That's a serious tunnel. A lot less serious tunnel that might help a little bit is a D Street tunnel that the Silver Line sits there at a traffic light right now waiting to go to the Ted Williams Tunnel on its way to the airport. If they built that tunnel like we originally planned in the Big Dig plans, that would alleviate a lot of backup Silver Line. The Silver Line could also service Chelsea. The Silver Line has a lot of potential, a lot of connectivity potential to link the Red Line, to link even Purple Trains to the Seaport District.
Dan, I take your point, and this is something that's coming up again and again in our series this week, that really major parts of the long-term solution to traffic problems, whether we're talking about in the Seaport or in the metro areas as a whole, has to do with transit. But there's a big gap here. I mean, like the millions of square feet that we're adding to the seaport, that's happening now.
Right.
I mean, even if a miracle happened and the billions of dollars for transit were shaken loose and we put a shovel in the ground today, we would still be way behind in terms of meeting the demand.
Well, the bypass road that was built for the Big Dig to get trucks down to the construction sites is now a really juicy piece of real estate. There used to be four rail lines there. There are two now. Why not reactivate that for transit? Why not put a purple train station over by Andrews Square, let the riders out so they don't have to go all the way into South Station, get them on their way earlier into the seaport? Why not open up Dorchester Avenue? Please kick the post office out. They have 130 loading docks on the waterfront. If that thing went away, Dorchester Avenue opens up and it becomes a huge pedestrian, huge bicyclist, huge bus corridor. And that's a serious way to alleviate a lot of traffic, especially with all this development they're talking about. And maybe one of the most brilliant, and I think is kind of like hiding in plain sight solutions, build houses in the seaport. Build houses in Southie. Create a lot more density.
Make it a place to really live.
Don't leave the seaport. You know, live and work and play in the seaport.
What about the other thing that you and I have talked about before? Water.
Love water. I have a boat over at the Barking Crab, and I've been watching water traffic for 25 years in the harbor. It's ghostly and empty still, compared to what it should be. We were a teeming harbor. We were built because of our harbor. Boston is a harbor city. And water traffic, we think of Salem maybe, we think of South Shore, Hingham, but why not up the Mystic River? Why not to one of the most popular cities, our Brooklyn, Somerville? Why not go down the Mystic River? Why not go down the Charles River? And the Seaport District is really a peninsula. There's the Fort Point Channel, almost a mile long. There's the Reserves Channel, almost a mile long. And then it comes to a point where the most populous part of the city, South Boston, 40,000 residents now live. Why not have a lot more access to the inner parts of the city through those channels?
Yeah. That, to me, sounds like the city of the future. Transit, more bikes, more buses, new tunnels that serve a lot of people, water transportation.
And I think of this, Magna. I look across from where I am at the Barking Crab, where my boat is, and I see the East Boston of the future. It's coming. High rises right on the waterfront. People are going to want to live in East Boston, take a boat to work, and then take a boat back.
Yeah.
And if it's not their own boat, it's a water taxi. If it's not a water taxi, why not an MBTA bus that's in the water?
I love those ideas, but I also constantly take the point that it's easy for us to talk about and much harder to actually make happen.
But no right-of-way issues on the harbor, so you could put boats to use almost immediately.
Well, Dan McNichol is the former chief spokesperson for the Big Dig and author of several books about the nation's infrastructure, including The Roads That Built America, The Incredible Story of the U.S. Interstate System. Great to talk with you, Dan. Thanks so much.
Magna, thanks for having me on.
And tomorrow, our series on traffic in Greater Boston continues with a look at the health effects of spending all that time in a long commute. So stay with us to listen to that on Morning Edition and Radio Boston tomorrow as well. We'll be right back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.